These are important Sundays because we're talking about who we are as a church, what our mission is, and what God is wanting to do through us. And so if you are already a part of the church, Covington, then I want this to be in you. I want this to be drilled down into your spirit and into your heart and on your mind just as strong as possible. And if you're our guest today, you're hearing this for the first time, I want you to know who we are while you're trying to decide if this is where God wants you to plant you and your family, or maybe you're hungry for the things of God. I want you to know who God is and what he is doing and what he wants to do through you. And if everything I'm saying right now is completely brand new to you, then I'm inviting you to go to the Church Covington YouTube page and catch up. Go and jump in on the last two messages so that you can hear our mission in full and know the heart of this house. Why? Because it's who we are. It's who we are. So let me give you our mission statement again. We've done this each week because I want you to see it. It's out on the wall in permanent paint. You can see it coming out of the cafe or just strolling from one side of the building to the other. But here is our mission. We are the church, dynamic, spirit-filled, and diverse, serving people, developing leaders, impacting generations. We are the church. I would love for you to memorize this. Dynamic, spirit-filled, and diverse. Serving people, developing leaders, impacting generations. So the first week of this series, we talked about being a dynamic church. We talked about being a spirit-filled church and all that that means. And I've loved it. I've loved it the last couple of weeks because I see your intensity. I see your heart to worship. There were a couple of times last Sunday and one time today that I could hear the congregation singing louder than I could the people on this stage. And I love that. I love that you're engaged. That's where dynamic comes from. That's where spirit infilling comes from. And then last Sunday we talked about diversity. Can I just say wow for our panel last week and everyone that contributed? It was beautiful and it was awesome. And I loved it. And then to come today and hear different ones talking about the conversations that it sparked in your house. One of our families said that they went to lunch and they spent the entire lunch just having conversations about diversity. That's awesome. That's incredible. I love that. That's what we hoped would happen as a result of that conversation last week. But just know that is our heart. Our heart is for a church that is welcoming to all people and invites everyone to come and have their life changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. We are the church, dynamic, spirit-filled, and diverse. But here's what we've got to do as a church. This is the reason we're dynamic. This is the reason that we are spirit-filled. This is the reason that we are diverse. Because we have to serve people, and we have to develop leaders, and we ultimately have to impact generations. Now, I'll just tell you today that all three of these, any three of these could be a Sunday message all by themselves, but I don't have time for that. I've got to preach all three of them in one, and that doesn't mean that I'm going to be a long time today, but I want to try to capture the essence and the heart and the spirit of this part of our mission, developing, serving people, developing leaders, and impacting generations. And Jesus did something at the end of his earthly ministry that I believe captures all three of them. He did something. He was serving, he was developing, and he was impacting at the same time. Because that's who I believe he wants us to be as a church. He wants us to be a church that serves people, a church that develops leaders, a church that impacts generations. And I don't want to just go to a church that does all three. I want my life, me, Daryl W. Hooper, 49 years of age, I want my life to serve people, to develop leaders, and to impact generations. And if you make this personal for you, if you decide this is who you want to be and the things that you want to do, then guess what? When we start doing these things individually, we can't help but do them collectively. And when we do them collectively, we make a difference in our community. We make a difference in our state. We make a difference in this region. And we make a difference around the world. Does that sound like a good mission to anybody? That's why I go to church. I want to be a part of a church that is on mission. So let me read a little bit. John 13 says, beginning at verse 12, this is on the screen, but if you want to follow along, I'm going to be in this 13th chapter of John for the entirety of our teaching today. The Bible said, John 13, verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, talking about Jesus, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is a portion of, and we're going to grab the entire story before it's over, but this is the Last Supper. This is the last time that Jesus is going to be with them in any kind of a setting like this. And so it's very, very important all that is happening. But I really wish I could convey, I wish I could describe for you the bond that was formed among these disciples in these moments with Jesus. Some of you already know, and some of you already sense this because of the love that you have for those who you serve and those whom you serve with. I've said it before, but this is my family of choice. I've got blood family. I've got kinfolk that I love. I'll see some soon, and I enjoy being around family, but I end up spending more time with my family of choice, my faith family, because of the bond that we have when we serve together, when we work together, when we are armed and linked up and joined together, making a difference in our church and in our community. There is a bond that comes out of that. They literally are family with one another, ready to fight for one another and take on every enemy in the world because they know that they have each other's back. But I want you to look at this because John 13, back to verse number 2, the beginning of the chapter, the Bible said the evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, it just means his coat or his outer robe. He took that off and wrapped a towel around his waist. As I mentioned a moment ago, this is their last supper. Jesus told them he was not going to eat again. He would not drink again until the fulfillment of the kingdom. So this is an important meal. But of course, anytime something important is happening, anytime something monumental is happening, anytime something earth-shaking is happening, the devil always shows up. The devil came to dinner. They're in this beautiful room. They're in this beautiful place. It's just Jesus and the 12 disciples that he spent the last 3 years with. But of course, the devil came to dinner. Judas is at the table with wrong motives. Judas didn't start out that way, but somewhere along the way, his allegiance changed. He believed a lie. He started cultivating bitterness in his heart. He started questioning the things that Jesus was doing, and now he's sitting here planning and plotting how he's going to give Jesus over to the Pharisees, ultimately to be crucified. I don't want you to focus on Judas. I don't want you to pay much attention to him, because there's always going to be someone. There's always going to be someone who's not on board. There's always going to be someone who just isn't sold out. There's always going to be someone who's just in the background, just kind of chirping and yapping and biting at heels. There's always going to be someone who's just a little negative, who has something to say. There'll always be someone. That's the devil's job. He's good at it. And I'm telling you, don't focus on that. The disciples, they don't even know who it is, because sometimes we just don't know. Jesus is saying, hey, I've gathered with you, but one of you are already off track. One of you have already gone down the wrong road. And the disciples are literally looking at each other saying, Is it me? Is it me? What did I mess up? What did I do? Is it me? All of them are living these submitted lives, trying to figure out what is going on. But because Jesus knew his purpose. He knew Judas. Judas was already up to something. But because he knew, verse 3, that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he said, you know what? Let me stick to what God, my Father, has asked me to do. You know why? Because we're not supposed to quit when opposition shows up. We're not supposed to allow the negative voice to get us to stop what we are doing. No, the show must go on. I know the enemy is here. I know Judas has come. I know the devil came to dinner and is trying to pluck anybody away that he can. But I'm going to stick to my purpose. I'm wondering today, have you ever served while you were sad? Have you ever led when it felt like you were losing? Have you ever kept moving forward even when it felt like the ground you were gaining or the steps you were taking were inconsequential? You know what? It happens. It'll happen again, because the devil is busy. People get off track. But you know what? I have to keep going. People quit, but God never quits. His calling, his anointing is without repentance. So regardless of what anyone else does, oh, I may be sad, it may break my heart if you choose to go a different direction, but I know what God has called me to do. So let me just keep moving forward and serve while sad and lead when I feel like I'm losing, because I know that if I stay on target, I know if I stay moving in the direction that God has pointed me, that everything is going to be okay. So Jesus gets up and he continues to serve. I'm disappointed, but I'm still serving people. I get discouraged sometimes, but I'm still serving people. And the Bible said that after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. After that, after Judas decided what he was going to do, Jesus said, you know what, I got water here. Chris, come here. Will you come join me on stage for just a moment? Come. He didn't know I was doing this. He didn't know others that I'm going to call have no idea. Just sit down in that seat right there and remove your shoes and your socks and let me prepare a place. Hurry, son, hurry. We're preaching. Jesus wrapped a towel around him and he got ready to wash the disciples' feet. Randy, come here. Start getting ready right here. Come here. Yeah, look at you, man. Disciples, leaders, followers, people committed to the house. Man, I wanted to wash your feet today, Chris, because you're important to me. You're important to me. I'm not just preaching. I mean this. You're important to me. I value our relationship. I know Chris. I don't know everything. I don't know everything, but there's something kindred. There's something kindred about us, because I know things weren't quite right with your dad. Things weren't quite right with my dad either. I know your dad disappointed you, and mine disappointed me too. I was angry with him more days than I loved him, if I'm honest with you. Sometimes I wondered, did I even love him at all, because he hurt our family so much, and yet Jesus came and redeemed my life. And yet Jesus came and picked me up out of that. And I see him picking you up too, because you're a great young man and you got this smile that is infectious. Man, when you walk into a room and you smile, it just puts everybody at ease. It just puts everybody at ease. I remember Chris, when you were going to work last year, I remember when you were going to work and you were meeting the guys early, and so you went to that parking lot and you were waiting on them to arrive. You were waiting on them to show up, and them police officers came knocking on your window. They had no other reason other than the color of your skin. And I want you to know I'm sorry. I want you to know, I know they wouldn't have done it to me, but they did it to you. But if they could just know today that your feet are being washed and you're being served, because there is a calling on your life and there is an anointing on your life. I'm not going with Judas. I'm not following that foolishness, because I have been called to serve people. I've been called to make a difference in other people's lives. Every time I serve in CY, every time I go on a trip to the ramp, camp, or whatever it is that we're doing, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. Jesus said, come on, disciples. Come on. We gotta prepare. We gotta get ready. We can't miss this moment. You can get dressed. I can't miss this moment, because Randy is one of my important leaders. He's so valuable to the house. So valuable. He's so valuable. Y'all don't even know, I'm washing the feet of a chief. He's a chief. He was a captain last week, but he's a chief this week. Chief in the fire department. And he serves people. Serves people every day. He had a hard week this week, because one of the men that he leads, and one of the men he works with, and one of the men that he cares about, he took his own life, and It's been a tough week. Randy, I know he feels guilt. He's wondering, did I tell him enough? Did I show him who Jesus was? Did I example? Did I witness? Was I so overwhelmed with the cares of my own life? I don't know. I hope I was an example. Let me just tell you, man, you were. You're a great example. You're a great leader. I know. Come here, Brian Kitchens. I need you. You're filming. Go, disciple. I love you. Go. Get ready. You're coming next. I need you. Pastor Brian, come. Get ready. I know. Listen, I know leading. It could be so much easier, and you feel the pressure as a dad. You feel the pressure as a dad because you got Emily, and things are not easy. In fact, things are hard. You're in a season of real struggle right now. But I tell you, if you keep serving, if you keep doing the right thing, I don't know how else to say it other than to say that if you'll make his business your business, he'll make your business his business, because that is what serving people looks like. That's what it means to serve people. That's how important it is to love people, to lead, even when I don't know if I feel like it. Yeah, you can get dressed. Look at my brother, my friend, my man, Pastor Brian. Got clean water and clean buckets for all the disciples. Yeah. Beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel. Sometimes you question your call. Sometimes you wonder if this is worth it all, because I don't know, it's stressful, man. You're doing church ministry and you're doing marketplace ministry, and you're a father and a husband, and you're a friend to a community. My son said this week, out of the blue, I don't know if it was prophetic or not, but he said, you know what, Pastor Brian, he ought to be mayor of Covington. I don't know. I don't know if y'all would vote for him or not. But I'm washing your feet today because I see weariness. I see exhaustion. I see tired. I see feet that are trying to juggle and feet that are trying to make sure that they don't misstep and they don't miscalculate, they don't run too fast, and that they don't move too slow. But I want to tell you today that I see you. I see the struggle. I see the difficulty. But we're called, and that calling is so powerful, and that calling is so real, and that calling is so necessary. Jesus said, disciples, I don't want you to miss this moment, because I'm teaching something in this moment. You can get ready again. I'm teaching something in this moment that I do not want you to miss. I'm showing you something. I am exampling something. I am preparing something for you. Because our mission is to serve people. Yeah. Mission is to serve people. But look when he goes a little further to verse 6. The Bible said that he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Listen, he wasn't asking this in anticipation. He was already arguing with Jesus. He wasn't asking this in expectation. Hey, why didn't you pick me? Pick me. I've got two dogs, and one of them gets so jealous of the other one that you can barely love on the one, because the jealous one is always rooting him and moving him and kicking him out of the way so that he can get up in your face. You got to shoo him, and you've got to hold him back so that you can love on one. That's not what's happening with Peter, I know Peter's got a lot of ego. I know Peter's got a lot of bravado, but Peter has not forgotten where he came from. So when he sees Jesus going down the line, he's concerned. Wait a minute, I don't want him washing my feet. I'm not worthy of this. I am not deserving of this. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said, no, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. First of all, Peter, I need to tell you something, because everybody deserves to hear the truth at least once. You don't know everything, sir. And let me tell all of us something in love. We don't know everything either. We think we know what Jesus is up to. We think we've got it all figured out, but what we need to do is just sit down and become a student of what Jesus is doing, to say, Lord, I want to learn, because I don't know everything. I am still in the development phase. Because spiritual know-it-alls, they never last, because they're gathering opinions faster than they're gathering experiences. See, I'm still developing today. You're still developing today. You're in the dark room. Your outcome is still processing. And this is of great concern to me as I try to lead in 2022. Because I wonder, are we still praying, lead me, Lord, I will follow? Or are we determining all of God's outcomes before he even has the chance to reveal himself to us? Developing leaders. You see, there is a mandate on my life. There is a call on my life as senior pastor here to develop leaders in this house, to mature people, to grow people, to help people become. I can't speak to anything that happened 4.5 years before I came. All I can tell you is what God put on me and what God has called me to do. And all I can do is live 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The problem is, this is lost in the church of today. It's lost because we've reduced the pastor down to just a first name. He knows us, but he can't know us. He K-N-O-W, but he can't N-O us. I speak to the spirit of this hour that cannot be pastored, that cannot be led, that cannot be coached, that cannot be shown, that cannot be given example to. Do not be that person. Submit. And this is not some dictatorship, because if you've been around at all, you know that's not the way I roll, that's not the way I lead, that's not the way I want to lead. That is not in me. I am not perfect, but God has set me in this house to develop leaders. Pastor Dale, what do you mean by leaders? You may be leading your home. You may be leading at your job. You may be leading in this church. But wherever you are a leader. And we need to be leaders who are worthy of the call that is on our lives. I thought about it this week as I was writing notes, and I chuckled all these years later, but when it happened, I wasn't necessarily happy. I know I wasn't chuckling. We were having a church anniversary in Texas, and it was probably the biggest night we'd ever had as a church, and I called in every relationship I had, and there were Man, there were mega church pastors. I mean, just as a pastor, these are people that are your heroes, and they pastor thousands and thousands of people, and all of them are in our little sweet building that night celebrating an anniversary, and this pastor had preached, and another pastor was there just honoring us for our time. I mean, it was unbelievable. And so we went to a restaurant after, and I was nervous, but I was excited to host this great group of pastors and just honoring them. And there was another ministry that was there that was literally, he's gone on now, but literally a worldwide ministry and just powerful, but he was a long time family friend, and we in that tight-knit circle had a pet name for him. It wasn't pastor, it wasn't man of God, it wasn't any of that. It was just this pet name, and he was sitting immediately to my right, and somewhere in the telling of a story, I referred to him by that pet name. When I did, my pastor, who was across the table from me, said, "Pastor Darrell, if I ever hear you refer to him by that name again," he didn't even finish the statement. I'm not sure what he would do. I guess I'll call him and ask him. But let me tell you something. You know what I did? I immediately submitted and said, "Yes, sir. I won't do that." And I turned to that elder and I apologized to him and to the entire table. I never thought about getting offended. It never came to mind for me to get on Facebook and blast my pastor who corrected me in front of a table full of other pastors. You know why? Because I was developing. I'm not saying we have to handle things in a public way, and we don't, but is there something in me that says, "Lord, I want to be developed"? Is there something in my character? Is there something in my personality? Am I anything like Peter, who needs to be redirected and sometimes needs to be corrected? And yeah, sometimes, Peter, you need to be rebuked because you're just off. You're letting that temper get the best of you. But hear me, you will not be anything great for God if you will not receive the gentle and loving correction that God brings into our lives. Developing leaders, because God has called us to grow, and God has called us to mature, and God has called us to become who God is calling us to be. And there has to be a culture of honor, because honor is the currency of elevation. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. I don't even think twice about honoring men that I actually lead, men who I actually pastor. I think nothing of washing their feet. I think nothing of submitting myself to them. I think nothing of getting on my knees to wash their feet. I'm ready to wash my hands, and I will pretty quick as soon as this service is over, but pastor, gotta be real, doesn't it? I'm telling you, if this kind of honor ever sweeps into this house, if the spirit of honor and humility ever comes into this house where we do not care who gets the credit, where it does not matter to us if it's our name in light or if it's our feet on the stage, but we're honored to serve and to make a difference. And hear me, we're not just gonna serve those out there. We can feed people, and we do by the dozens and dozens every single week, but we're not just gonna feed people out there and not feed people in here. We gotta feed one another, and we have to serve one another, and we have to love one another, and we develop and we grow together. So we come full circle to our original text reading. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? Jesus asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, don't miss this. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now, verse 17, that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Because that's the mission. We serve people. We develop leaders. We impact generations. Now that you know this, now that you have seen this example, can I tell you that for the disciples, this was graduation day? This is the day that they became spiritual men. All of them were leveling up on this day. I mean, just consider this. Consider this for a moment. All of these men, they are heroes to us, and they are larger than life characters in our minds as we read their words from the Bible. But these men at this moment were just new converts. They had been following Jesus for just 3 years. They were still learning, and all of this was brand new to them, and all of this was so unusual to them, because every single day is a day to learn and grow and mature and become. Jesus said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, what? You should also wash one another's feet. I'm doing this to bless you. Seeing you blessed is my joy. Seeing you fulfilled, seeing you strong, seeing you whole, seeing you healthy, it is my joy. But I did this to show you how to bless someone else. I set an example that you should also do as I have done for you and impact generations. I'm going to tell you something. From this day on, these disciples were different men. Never the same. Jesus served them, and Jesus developed them. And they went from being a small gang who asked lots of questions to becoming an army with answers. The answer. Yeah, they got a little sleepy in the garden. Yeah, Peter would let his temper best him, and I don't know, it's when he saw them put their hands on Jesus. He was saved, but still had a little street. Hood and holy, it's possible. It's possible. Because there ought to be some fight in us. When you're in that conversation, they're talking about your church, there ought to be some fight in you. When you're in that conversation and they're trashing your leader, there ought to be some fight in you. Well, tell me more. No, I rebuke that. That's not honor. So yeah, the disciples, they weren't finished struggling per se. As leaders live in flesh, and flesh gets tired and angry and hurt. But the call keeps us from quitting. Why? Because there is a generation coming. There is a generation coming. Peter may be struggling today. He's finding his faith footing. But in just a few days, just around the corner over in Acts 2, Peter's leading. Bible said he stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 3,000 or so of them. And Peter said, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose." What are you doing, Peter? I'm telling people who do not know. I'm following the example. Hey, everyone, listen. What Jesus did for me, I have the privilege of doing for you. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise, the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Impacting generations. Peter said, "This is not just for me. This moment was not just for me. He was serving me to develop me, and he developed me so that I could impact another life." Come on, church, what are we doing? What are we doing with all of this talent? What are we doing with all of this ability? What are we doing with our resources in the house? What are we going to do with all of this? The last thing I want to do is just have it all and hoard it all and say, "Well, you know, it's just more for us." No. What is the mission? Acts 17 and 6. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Those who just a few years ago, because by the time you get to Acts 17, they're probably 10, 12 years beyond Calvary. But somehow they figured out who they were. They figured out what Jesus had asked them to do and what Jesus had called them to do. And now they are turning their world upside down. You know what this pastor is hoping? I'm hoping we can turn Covington upside down. I'm hoping we can turn Newton County, Rockdale County, Walton County upside down. I'm not trying to change their politics. I want to keep their families together. I want to keep their kids off of drugs. I want to make Jesus famous in this community. I want to light revival fires so that they burn, and people get what they need from Jesus. Can we have revival? Can we be the church? Can we do something great for God? We are the church. Dynamic, spirit-filled, diverse, serving people, developing leaders, impacting generations. What could God do this year? What could God do? It's about to be March the 1st. 2 years ago, March 1st, 2nd, we were having incredible revival. This building was packed out, every seat filled in a Sunday night revival service 2 years ago. It seemed like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? 2 years ago, January 2020, people were coming from everywhere. We were growing faster from Conyers. Every address was, everybody was just coming. We don't advertise. I don't know how they were hearing about us. People were coming, seats filled, and then a stupid pandemic. I'm still mad about it, yes. And we've struggled for 2 years. And we've lost people. And some have quit the faith. Some have just quit us. So be it. But God has given us a mission. It's who we are. It's who we are. It's who we are. It's who we are. So no, pardon me if I'm not nonchalant. Pardon me if I just refuse to be whole hum when it comes to my commitment. I'm sold out. I'm sold out because he set the example in my life. Would you stand with me across the room today? Hallelujah.